Let's turn over to John chapter 3. You know, I'm learning we don't need to pray. Prayer has gone forth. Praise has gone forth. Now it's time for the word to come forth. Amen. Let's just be free. And that's all I'm going to ask you today. We're going to allow the Holy Ghost to do what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, and through whom he wants to do it. We're going to flow. We're going to flow in here today in Jesus' name. One of the things as a point of clarification I'd like to just touch base on, and this is kind of a quick recap for those that may not have been here on Wednesday night, I think it's just important that I do clarify this. One of the things that I shared, and I want to read it exactly and then clarify some things, I mentioned everything we have in life is shaped by what we are hearing. Our hearing must be acute to God's voice. When we are where we are supposed to be, I said that there is a favor flow. Do you remember that when you're here on Wednesday, for those that were here? And then I said, in that ordained spot, there is, when you're in your ordained spot, there is a favor flow. Okay? I went on to say, when you are in that spot, there is no stress, strain, or struggle. And this is what I want to clarify, because I know that some people, and particularly as the song was saying, we're going through stuff. And we know that persecution comes for what sake?
Word.
Are we a word church?
Yes.
So there's going to be persecution. But enduring, as you endure that, there comes a peace that passes all understanding. And that's what I did not include. Because yes, we're going to go through some stuff. But glory to God, we got the victory. Because Jesus bore it all on the cross. Now, even though we may go through some bumps, we may have some challenges, but glory to God, we still walk in victory. That does not change your the circumstance may not be aligned with how you want it to be, but continue to walk in faith. Continue to declare what God's word says, and that circumstance has got to change. Are we clear? For anyone who may not have been clear, I pray that clarifies some things. The next thing I said, now this is not points of clarification, this is my recap now. We also talked about something that I think is important, that, and again, this is kind of foundational. We want to continue to build upon where we were on Wednesday. We talked about favor is hidden in the voice of God and found in the obedience of his instructions. Favor is locked into God's wisdom. Seek God's wisdom and you'll find his favor. We also touched on, and we're going to kind of pick up from here today, we must see ourselves as the righteousness of God in Christ. We can't walk in God's favor if we don't have the face of Jesus Christ or put on his righteousness, because he's given it to us. We also talked about changing our mindset. You have to change your thinking. You have to see yourself and know yourself to be loved, as that song says, loved of the Lord. Think of yourself the way Jesus Christ thought of himself. And you know he was bad and didn't even have to, when I say bad, I mean he was all of that in a bag of chips. You know, he knew who he was. He didn't have to go around boasting, but he walked around, and when he spoke, he knew that things were going to happen. His word was not going to return void, but it was going to accomplish that which he pleased and purposed it to. So today, praise God, we are going to continue in that light. And one of the theme, or again, I want to continue to have us focus on we must understand and function in the mindset of Jesus. We must understand and function in the mindset of Jesus. And we're going to read, let's turn quickly to John 3:16. Dolores, if you have that. Let's turn to John 3:16. I'll give it right back, okay? Okay, let's read, and I'm reading out of the King James Version. We're going to start with John 3:16, 17, and 18. Everybody there? Okay. Ready? Read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. One of the things that I think it's very important that we start off today understanding and realizing is just a few quick definitions, and I have it in my notes, but I want it to flow, and Dolores has kindly given me some of the definitions of favor, and we're going to go and definitely expound on these a little bit more. But one of there are many, but let me just kind of go over a few of these very quickly. One is says, friendly regard shown toward another, especially by a superior, approving consideration or attention. It talks about a gracious kindness, an act of such kindness. Some of the things is a token of love, a small gift or decorative item given out at a party. Now, we've heard all these definitions, and I wanted to kind of lay this kind of just as a quick mindset, and then I want you to also see how it, under God's line, how it aligns. Thank you. So, when we were talking, one of the other things that we talked about on Wednesday was hearing from God and the importance of hearing God's word at this time. So, far too many Christians are looking to be defined themselves by what others think. The Word of God gives definition to who we are, and because we walk in favor with God, we will have what He wants us to have and do what He wants us to do. Amen? Now, very quickly, turn over to Numbers chapter 23. We're going to look at verse 19, one quick scripture, and again, we're going to be moving, so I just pray that you will move with us this morning, because there's a lot that we want to address. Glory to God. And I'm going to be reading out several translations. I'm going to start out of the Message translation. So just follow along, Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, just one scripture. And one that we're very familiar with. God is not a man, one given to lies, and not a son of man changing his mind. So if we understand God is not a man that's given to lies, nor is he the son of man changing his mind, are we not made in his image? And in his likeness, these are characteristics that we should be known for. When the song was saying about our integrity should line up, and we should be just like God in the earth as an example. The Lord is speaking things to us. Listen to this closely. that most people, unfortunately, have not trained themselves properly to hear. That this will hinder some from receiving what they are supposed to concerning his favor. Now, in the Old Testament, but particularly in the King James Version, how many have seen the word favor spelled F-A-V-O-U-R? And in more of our modern translations today, we've kind of dropped the U. But let me tell you what God said. And I thought this was, you know when you get a Holy Ghost blurt from God? I thought this was so appropriate. Favor in the King James Version, as I mentioned, is spelled F-A-V-O-U-R. Because God had you in mind. He had you in mind. The world can drop it out, but God will never drop it out. Because you were on his mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I love those Holy Ghost blurts like that, when he just inserts something and gives you something that you know is rhema, but you know when it's for you and it's going to bless the people. And if you keep this in your mind, so when you're going through circumstances and situations, no, God favors me. He has me on his mind. To walk in this type of favor, it will take courage and boldness. Most importantly, humility. It's going to take humility. Turn over quickly to James chapter 4, verse 6. I'm going to read this out of the Common English Bible. I like the way it kind of speaks. James chapter 4, verse 6, he says, but he gives us more grace. This is why it says, God stands against the proud, but favors the humble. He favors the humble. And that grace in that verse says, but he gives more grace. That is unmerited favor. That is a defined enablement. We've heard a lot about unmerited favor. Can I just explain? Unmerited favor is when you didn't do anything to deserve it. That's the easiest way I can define it. When you didn't do anything, but God and his love for us just extends it to you. Have you ever been in a restaurant and you just walk in and all of a sudden the maitre d' or someone walks up to you and says, mister, just right over here. And you get there and it's the most divine table, the best seat in the house. How did that happen? Favor of God. See, and the one thing I'm also want to insert here is God is never going to favor you at the expense of taking something away from someone. Growing up, and again, the spirit of transparency, as a young boy, I used to always find money. I did. I'd be walking down the street, $5 bill. And, you know, when you 5 years old, 10 years old, and you find $5, that's like $1 million, you know, but I would have these things come to me. And as I grew older, I kind of expected it. So, you know, I would be going in the grocery store and find a wallet. But see, as I came into Christ, that was an opportunity. That's not God's favor when you find it something like that. See, you are more blessed when you give than when you receive. That's what the Bible says. So then I learned I was more favored when I returned it. So you have to understand, we should never receive anything at the expense of someone losing something. God is not going to take from this one to give to you just for the sake of saying, I'm favoring you. God, he's a just God. And he's not going to operate like that. Hallelujah. There will be times when we will be required to change our posture and position because of this favor. Now let's look at Psalm chapter 102. We're going to hit a lot of scripture today, but I believe it's going to come together exactly like the Father wants it. Psalm 102, and we're going to look at verse 13, and we can read this together. I'm reading out of the King James Version. Everybody there? And have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. You receive that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now that word arise there, in this verse it means an upright position. It means lifting your head up. Now, one of the things that we must know that when you're walking in this favor, we talked about it's going to take a boldness. It's going to take a sense of confidence. This is not because, again, it's not us, but it's the Christ that lives in us that enables us to lift up our head and change our posture. Okay? Quickly, turn over. Now, we're going to look at some examples of those that favored or had favor or walked in favor. And particularly, this is where I almost came out of my seat to tackle Deacon Bill, because he started to talk about Abraham. He mentioned Isaac, but how many of you know Isaac just followed after what he saw his father? So let's turn over and let's look at Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to read this out of the Message translation, but I'm reading it out of the Message translation because, again, it's going to reiterate some things that we need to be keeping at the forefront of who we are in Christ. We're going to start at verse 1. And please, if you don't have the Message translation, just follow along with me. And keep in the back of your mind how Abraham, and as we move on to Isaac as well, they all heard from God. Because it's back to make sure we're hearing from the Father. Because we can't walk in favor unless we're hearing from God. Verse 1 says, God told Abraham, leave your country, your family, and your father's home for a land that I will show you. Verse 2. I'll make you a great nation and bless you. That's the first thing. I'll make you famous. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I'll curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Now, let me just stop right there and say, how many of you know that as new covenant believers, the blessings of Abraham are extended to us? So everything that was just declared from verse 1 through verse 3, right there, is a great time for you to receive. We're going to be a great nation, and we're blessed. God is going to make us famous so that we'll be a blessing. It's not for us to hoard, but it's for us to be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Be careful who you're blessing. and curse those who will he'll curse. The families of the earth will be blessed through us. Verse 4, still in the message. So Abraham left just as God said, and Lot left with him. I want you to remember that. Lot was with him. And if you know the story, Lot was his nephew. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abraham took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot with him, along with all the possessions and people they had gotten in Haran, and set out for land of Canaan and arrived safe and sound. Now, as we heard this morning, as Deacon Floyd was admonishing us, he said something very interesting. When he referred to Isaac, and he said that every time Isaac dug a well, whether, and particularly it was the Philistines who came in and filled those wells for Isaac. Every time that happened, wherever he moved, he dug a new well. But it also says there that every time he dug a well, he built an altar. And the purpose of him building an altar there was he needed to worship God and thank God for every time the enemy did something, the Lord moved him somewhere else, and he built an altar there to worship. That's the key for us. As the Lord moves us, we're getting ready to go. Where you are, worship. Worship. That's the key. That's the key. Wherever you are, and the Lord is doing anything, don't hoard anything. Begin to worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 10. Let's jump down to verse 10. Same chapter. Now listen at this. Before I read verse 10, I need to set this up. Because the Lord speaks to Abraham, sends him out. But he sends him out with possessions. He wasn't broke. He had his needs met. But look what the Lord does. In verse 10, in your translation, well, let me just read it in this translation and you can follow along. You'll get the gist of it. Then a famine came in the land. Let me keep reading. Abraham went down to Egypt to live. Now, mind you, the Lord sent him fully prepared. Remember we were talking about on Wednesday night? The Lord will provide. Wherever the Lord is going to send you, he's going to provide. No matter where he's sending you, what the circumstance or situation is, hallelujah, hallelujah, he's going to send you fully prepared. Doesn't care what the economic system is. Doesn't care what the forecast is. Just go, knowing that you've been sent fully. I'm talking about you're going to see how blessed he was. You're going to see how blessed he was. As he drew near to Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarai, look, now we both know that you're a beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they're going to say, aha, that's his wife, and kill me. But they'll let you live. This is what he's saying to Sarai. Do me a favor. Tell them you're my sister. Because of you, they'll welcome me and let me live. Now let me just insert this here for you. Even though you can hear from God, we can never afford to lean to our own understanding. He heard from God. But at the moment he saw what appeared to him to be an enemy or a threat, he started thinking, how can I make this comfortable? How can I help God? And we know our arms are too short to try to help God. Every time we go in and try to insert something that God has told us to do, you're setting yourself up for a fall. God never intended. Don't you think God knew that Sarah was fine? He didn't need no help. And the Lord wanted me to insert this also for the women in the house, and particularly the what we may call seasoned women. Now, if Abraham was 75, Sarah was 65 or thereabouts. They were about 10 years, depending on which how you're reading it. Just for this, just believe she's 10 years younger. That's still 65, right? She was fine. So fine that this boy said, "You are so fine, I got to tell them you my sister." How much more? If you're under the same covenant, a better covenant with better promises, you're just as fine in God's eyes. Receive that. I don't care how old you are. In God's eyes, you're fine. You're fine as Sarah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 14. Let's jump down to 14. When Abraham arrived in Egypt, the Egyptians, took one look. Now you know. But see, look at the power of his word. He spoke it out. And exactly what he said came to fruition. But boy, just imagine for a second how fine Sarah must have been. If the Egyptians looked at her with just one look, and man, they saw his wife was stunningly beautiful. Listen to this. Pharaoh's princes raved over her to Pharaoh. She was taken to live with Pharaoh. But see, this is all because of man's leaning to his own understanding. Because of her, Abraham got along very well. You know what that means there? Pharaoh was showering that boy with goods and stuff. That's what that means. He got along very well. But watch what happens to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, "Boy, what you trying to do? You trying to kill me?" And that's Kevin's interpretation there. And now in verse 16, because of her, Abram got along very well. He accumulated sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men and women servants, and camels. But God hit Pharaoh hard because of Abram's wife, Sarah. Everyone in the palace got seriously sick. Man leaning to his own understanding. Pharaoh called for Abram. "What's this that you've done to me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife?" Now, that had to be discerned. There's no record where God spoke that to Pharaoh. But we'd have to surmise How else would he have known? So God is speaking. Why did you say she's my sister so that I take her as my wife? My boy Pharaoh said, here's your wife back. Take her and get out. Pharaoh ordered his men to get Abraham out of the country, not just the region, but the country. They send him and his wife, but listen to this, and everything he owned on their way. The favor of God was still on Abraham. It was Abram, too soon to be Abraham. Even though he leaned to his own understanding, God's grace and mercy still honored his word and kept the favor of God on him. And he still accumulated in the famine. Glory to God. Now, back to Lot for a second. There is increase through association. Listen to this. Hang with those who have your answers and get away from those who have your problems. Now, look at the next chapter. Just turn over to chapter 13. And we're going to read a few verses very quickly. And I'm still in the Message translation, so read along with me. So Abraham left Egypt and went back to Negev, he and his wife and everything he owned. And Lot still was with him. Remember we said about association. By now Abraham was very rich. He was loaded with cattle and silver and gold. So when God first sent him out, he was rich. Now, he's very rich. Verse 5. Lot, who was traveling with Abram, was also rich in sheep and cattle and tents. And you know how the story continues if you just continue to read down. They were so prosperous that the shepherds for Lot and the shepherds from Abraham. Now, this is uncle and nephew. Their shepherds began to fight and have disagreements. And but this is the thing that just so blessed me. That when you are anointed and walking in God's favor, Abraham said, he called over to Lot and said, you know what? I sense that there's some tension between our shepherds. And can I just use you for an example? Deacon Floyd, and I'll be Lot so I don't misguide this. He's brother Abraham. He says to me, Brother Kevin, I don't want no beef, and I'm just giving you the 21st century translation. I want us to be in harmony. He's so blessed, he says, you survey the land. You pick where you want to go. See, that's a characteristic of Jesus Christ. He was so bad, he didn't have to throw his weight around. He knew who he was. That's the same way God wants us to operate. When situations and circumstances come your way, you don't have to be concerned and try to do it for yourself. Hear what the Father is saying to you to do and do that. So back to Brother Abraham, he sent Lot out, and Lot was like, boy, that land over here looks real moist. And that the term was, it had a lot of flowing water and it was very green. And I don't want to get ahead, but I just want to read it as exactly how the scripture says. So because Abraham knew he had the favor of God on his life, he gave Lot the choice to go wherever he wanted. But watch how God honored his word. Look at verses 14 through 17. After Lot separated from God, from him, God said to Abraham. He waited for Abraham to go and get the land. And then God spoke to him. And he said, oh, I love this. I love this. Open your eyes. Open your eyes, Abraham. Look around you. Look to the north. Look to the south. Look to the east. Look to the west. He didn't care where Lot had just gone. Because the favor of God was on him, God gave him all the land. As far as he could see. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, everything you see, the whole land spread out before you, I will give to you and to your children forever. I'll make your descendants like dust. Counting your descendants will be as impossible as counting the dust of the earth. So on your feet, get moving. Get up. Remember we talked about changing your posture and position? God told Abraham to get up and get moving. Glory to God. Change your position. Walk through the country, its length and breadth. I'm giving it all to you. Glory to God. He gave it all to him. Now, Abraham moved his tent, verse 18. He moved his tents. He went and settled in the oaks of Mamre in Hebron. There he built an altar to God. This is another example. After he got the revelation, he built an altar for the purpose of worshiping. When God does anything in your life, I don't care how big or small, you need to get you an altar and get on your face and just worship him. Worship him in the beauty of holiness. Glory to God. Quickly, let's turn to Genesis 26. And we're going to see the exact same thing that happened with Isaac. The exact same thing happened with Isaac. Now remember, we talked about get around those who have your answers and get away from those who have your problems, right? If Isaac is observing his father, he's seeing exactly the same thing. That's why, folks, it's important who you are surrounding yourself with. It's a subliminal. It works. You don't think, oh, you think, oh, I could just filter that out. I just know them. They're okay. That is seeping in your ears. It's seeping in your eye gate. And believe it, it's a spirit. That stuff will latch onto you like, why am I thinking like that? Because of you, who you surround yourself around. Let's look at Genesis 26, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. And again, I'm staying in the message. Now, look at the first thing it says. There was a famine in the land. So now, he had to have observed his dad being in a famine. So either he had a choice. Do I panic because it's a famine? Or do I steady myself and just listen to what God is going to say? And this is what I like about this one. It even says, there was a famine in the land as bad as the famine as during the time of Abraham. And Isaac went down to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gera. And when he went down to that place, God appeared to him and said, don't go down to Egypt. Stay where I tell you. Stay here in the land and I'll be with you and bless you. We got to hear, folks. Back to hearing. What is God telling you to do? Some of you may be considering some changes, but if you haven't heard from God, sit tight, build an altar, and worship. Where the presence of the Lord is, he's going to speak. But we, in this day and hour that we're in, we have to know that God has told us to do what we're doing. Because he's not obligated to bless. He will, let me clarify that, he will bless because that's his mercy. But I would rather be in that space or spot that he wants me to be so that favor can flow. There'll be no hindrances. So as he goes down, stay here in this land and I'll be with you and bless you. I'm giving you and your children all these lands that was prophesied to Abraham, fulfilling the oaths that I swore to your father Abraham. I'll make your descendants as many as the stars in the sky and give them all these lands. He told Abraham he was going to make his descendants like dust. He told Isaac he's going to make his descendants like the stars in the sky. All the nations of the earth will get a blessing for themselves through your descendants. And why? Because Abraham obeyed my summons and kept my charge, my commands, my guidelines, my teachings. And I love the next verse. And Isaac stayed put. He stayed put. He did not move. Glory to God. Verse 7. The men of the place questioned him about his wife. He said, "She's my sister." Now, where do you think he heard that from? But isn't this something? Is it hereditary? Sarah's fine, now Rebecca's fine. Isn't that something? And they're not even kin. Either they must have just had a good eye for women, pretty women, I guess. I'll just leave it at that. He was afraid to say, just like Abraham, "She's my wife." And the very next thing says, he was thinking, leaning to his own understanding again, just like his father. "These men might kill me to get Rebecca, so she's so beautiful." Now, this is, if you jump down to verse 12, now think of this. There's a great famine in the land, just like the famine that was in Abraham's time. Look what Isaac does in verse 12. Isaac planted crops in the land and took in a huge harvest. So, what are we saying today, family? Regardless of the economic circumstances that we all are living in, a system, knowing that God's system is the system that we're under. He is the system that provides even in the midst of a famine, even in the midst of a recession. God's system, glory to God, God's system will sustain you. Hallelujah. God blessed him. The man got richer and richer by the day until he was very wealthy. He accumulated flocks and herds and many, many servants. So much so that the Philistines began to envy him. And that's what you were talking about. They got back at him by throwing dirt and debris into the wells that his father's servants had dug back in the days of his father Abraham, clogging up the wells. And it got so in verse 16, finally Abimelech told Isaac, "Man," and again, this is my translation, "it's time for you to leave." Just like what happened to Abraham. When the favor of God is on you, you're not going to be able to stay where you are. Do you hear me? You are not going to be able to stay where you are, because there's no different from what happened to Abraham and Isaac than when God wants to release his favor. But there are some requirements. There are some requirements, and we're going to get to them. Glory to God. Glory to God. These are examples for us to observe. Even when walking in the favor of God, we must align our thinking with God and not to our own understanding. Clearly, Isaac must have seen or heard his father Abraham say, his wife, or actually it was Isaac's mother, Sarah, was my sister. How else would he have just automatically done that? The same exact thing with his wife, Rebecca. He does the exact same thing. How we train, and I want you to say this, how I train will determine how I reign. How you are being taught, who you are listening to, how you are applying yourself will determine your reigning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's look at, very quickly, Luke chapter 4, verse 40. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified translation. I want you to see this. I'm going to just go quickly. Just follow along with me. Luke chapter 6, verse 40. Luke chapter 6. Pardon me. Luke chapter 6. Verse 40, excuse me. And I'm reading out of the Amplified. It says, a pupil is not superior to his teacher, but everyone, when he is completely trained, readjusted, restored, set to rights, and perfected, will be like his teacher. And in your Bible, I hope this is in red, so you know that we're referring to Jesus and that Jesus is our teacher. So everything, he is our model. He's the one that we esteem or practice or want to be like in what we're doing. He's training us for reigning. Now, one stipulation that I want to insert here is that as we release and God releases this favor, we are going to have to mature as believers in Christ. Amen. We have to mature. And I want to run through some scriptures very quickly. Ephesians chapter 4, please. We're going to read verses 15 and 16. Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16. I'm reading this out of the Message translation. Ephesians 4:15. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. Say this, Jesus is my everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quickly look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And this is understanding that if Jesus is your everything, I tell you, it's going to help with your understanding and as you get revelation on some of these scriptures. Very familiar passage of scripture. Romans 10, 17. And we're going to, I want us to read this together because I think it's important that you see this. You can probably, I'm asking everybody to read it because when I share something with you, I guarantee you're going to see something different. So let's read together. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Do you know that in that verse of scripture, when it says the word of God, in the original Greek, that word means Christ. God is Christ. That means Christ. And as it was exactly said Christos in the Greek. It was pronounced Christo. So think about this now. When you read that, it says, now faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Boy, marinate on that for a moment and allow the Christ, Jesus Christ, to come alive in you when you think, I'm speaking his word and faith is coming, but so is the word of Christ coming back to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to turn. You could just make some quick notes because I want to get through just a couple of quick things as I come to my conclusion now. But I want to you to just jot down 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. And I'm reading this out of the New Living Translation. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. Jump quickly down to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read verse 1 also in the New Living. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Glory to God. They just couldn't entertain me the same way. When we grow up in the things of God, you won't be able to have yourself drawn back into things that used to divert you. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, please. Or jot it down. I'm just going to read it quickly. I'm in the Amplified, so if you're with me. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now what I mean is that as long as the inheritor, the heir, is a child and under age, he does not differ from a slave, although he is the master of the estate. So it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. Verse 2, it says, but he is under guardians and administrators or trustees until the date fixed by his father. Say this with me. Our father has fixed the date. Glory to God. Listen to this. We have a scheduled date with a destiny of favor for our future. I'm going to say that one more time. We have a scheduled date with a destiny of favor for our future. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John 10:10. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified, and we're going to bring this home. John 10:10. Now, when this scheduled date of destiny comes, these next two scriptures are what we're going to be in for. John 10:10 in the Amplified says, "The thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, hallelujah, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." Glory to God. This is what Jesus said, folks. This is not my thing. This is not my interpretation. But this is what he says. He wants us to have life and enjoy it to the full. Till it overflows. If you're just making the ends meet, you're living beneath your privileges. Just enough is not enough. Now, I'm going to close here, and I just thank God for this revelation. If you don't have it, I want everyone to go home tonight, and I want you to mark this, highlight it, underline it, do whatever you need to do. But turn over with me to Amos chapter 9. Glory, 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 glory. Amos chapter 9. I'm going to read this out of the Message translation, but we're going to start at verse 13 and we're going to go through to verse 15. Follow along, please. I still hear pages turning, so I want us to get it, but I want you to write down this in the Message translation. I want everybody to go home tonight, a little homework assignment. And you can just shout and get your praise on in your house. But you're going to shout and praise God when this hits your spirit. It says in verse 13, I'm reading out of the Message. Yes, indeed, it won't be long now. God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast, your heads will swim. One thing fast on the heels of another. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and the hills. I'll make everything right again for my people Israel. Glory to God. Receive that, church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Favor is a force in the earth. One day of favor can fix your future forever. Favor is a state of being approved or held in high regard. It is excessive kindness or unfair partiality. It is preferential treatment. When God's favor is upon you, it is undeniable, unexplainable, and unstoppable. Glory to God. Folks ain't gonna like it, but that's all right. We're walking in the spirit of humility. We're going to love them. But receive what God has for you. Walk in it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Praise God. Hallelujah. When we've heard from God, the final thing is, and I want you to remember these four S's. There's four S's. When you're hearing from God, see or visualize what he is saying. The first thing, the first S is see. S-E-E. The second thing we must do is submit. The third thing we must do is serve the vision. And the fourth thing we must do is sow to the vision. Do you have it? I'll give it to you again. The first thing we must see, S-E-E. We must submit. We must serve. And we must sow. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The final thing I'm going to say in this lesson. Where God gives the vision, he makes the provision.